Folks, it's time for a podcast, and it's our biggest one yet. It is 4 times the size of the last episode, and this time it features brand new rendering, lighting, and recording technology. It allows us to have 16 times the detail, and even listen on YouTube. Now, I've read on the YouTube video comments that I don't upload very often. But I promise you, just listen to this podcast episode. It just works.
All of this just works.
Folks, I'm Hyrulean and welcome back to the Switched Podcast. We are just a few short weeks at the time of recording this from the release of the latest and greatest from Bethesda, Starfield. And I'm here today to talk about this game and kind of share some of my thoughts on how I think the game will go. And more specifically, I'm going to answer the question, will Starfield be a good game? And before we get into answering that question, I figured I better lay out some of my credentials as a Bethesda fan. My first Bethesda game was the original Xbox release of Morrowind, and I remember being blown away by the unique atmosphere, the massive, sprawling, endless open world, and the huge amounts of content between both tons and tons of NPCs to meet, shops to find, houses to explore and to loot, and quests to do. And ever since, I've been quite a big Bethesda fan, and I've played a bit of Oblivion, a lot of Skyrim, Fallout 3 to completion, Fallout New Vegas to completion, even though that's by Obsidian technically, and a good amount of Fallout 4. So yeah, I'm pretty excited for Starfield, and I've always been a huge sci-fi fan. I've always loved space and space games and space and pop culture, and I'm even running a D&D campaign right now with a sci-fi setting. So needless to say, I'm a big fan of space games. That being said, Bethesda does not have the best track record recently, what with Fallout 76 and a lot of other general missteps on their part. So do I think Starfield has any shot at being a good game? Let's think about it for a moment. And in this episode, I'm going to go over reasons I think it could be a good game and reasons I think it could end up being a bad game. And I want to emphasize, I'm not answering the question of will the game be fun or not, because obviously it's going to be fun. It's a Bethesda game. But I'm more trying to answer if it will be a good video game. As in, will it be a game that deserves praise, that pushes boundaries, that meets consumer expectations, that is performant, playable, worth the price, that kind of thing. That's what we're going to talk about today. And I'm going to do so by going over gameplay mechanics, technical details, problems I had with past Bethesda games that I hope they kind of address in Starfield, and a whole lot more. So without further ado, folks, let's get right into it. So first, let's talk about the reasons I think Starfield could be a good game. Starting with the fact that it is a brand new IP. Bethesda has not had a new IP in many years. In fact, according to the Starfield Direct from a couple months back, it's their first new IP in 25 years. So it goes without saying that there's a lot of room for them to try new things and not be held back by the shackles of the Elder Scrolls series and the Fallout series, which are so beloved by so many fans that I feel like they at least partially have to kind of play it safe in order to appease the longtime fans of those respective series. I'm hopeful that this means that we'll get some seriously new ideas, and they'll kind of shake up the Bethesda formula in a pretty major way. I know back when I played Fallout 3 for the first time and realized that it played so similarly to the Elder Scrolls games, I was kind of shocked because I didn't think it would work adapting that kind of gameplay to a post-apocalyptic futuristic game, but shockingly it worked very well. But that being said, I think it would be a great idea for Bethesda to try and shake things up to make this game feel less like Skyrim, less like Fallout 4, and more kind of like its own thing, by maybe getting rid of some of the more tedious things from those other series and kind of taking this opportunity to make a new series to sort of completely rework the idea of how a Bethesda game can play. Now, according to a quick Google search, Starfield has been in development for about 7 years, which is quite a bit of time. And they've also kind of been just working on Skyrim ports, let's be honest. So hopefully the reason they've been kind of lazy as of recent and not released anything as of recent is because they've been putting all of their development effort into this game. 7 years is not an inconsequential amount of time to be in development. So hopefully between these 7 years and a couple delays, they've really had some time to put this game in the oven and, you know, make it a little more impressive in terms of not only development compared to other Bethesda games as of recent, but hopefully also less buggy, less glitchy, and it had some more time to be in the Q&A, quality assurance, QA phase, and just kind of be a little more polished overall. I think this extra long development time that Bethesda allows themselves is overall probably a good thing for the game's likelihood to be good as a whole. And that's not even mentioning the fact that Microsoft has owned Bethesda for the better part of this game's development. So hopefully Microsoft has kind of helped to keep Bethesda in check in making the game performant, and they've offered support in the QA department as well. I know there's the whole debacle with the fact that the game's going to be 30 FPS on console, and that is very concerning to me, but we'll get into that in the bad part of this podcast episode. But I think it's undeniable that Bethesda having Microsoft as a backbone, as something to keep them in line, is probably more of a good thing than a bad thing. And speaking of things that were actually good and not bad, Fallout 4. A lot of people shit on Fallout 4 when it came out and really, really, really disliked it. And as somebody who has like 60 hours in Fallout 4, I can tell you it's definitely not my favorite of the Bethesda Fallout games. Obviously, New Vegas is by Obsidian, and it will probably never be beat by Bethesda because of how amazing Obsidian is. But comparing Fallout 4 to Fallout 3, I definitely liked Fallout 4 more in a lot of ways. And I think overall, Fallout 3 to Fallout 4 really shows how they kind of grew and learned from Skyrim, because a lot of the things that they improved between Oblivion and Skyrim were also improved between Fallout 3 and Fallout 4. And I think Fallout 4 is very underrated, and I actually really, really enjoyed my time with it. I think it has a lot more merit than people give it credit for. And I know in between Fallout 4 and Starfield, they released Fallout 76, which was arguably their worst game of all time, but I think that they're self-aware enough to see the fact that 76 performed so badly and was so poorly received by the fans that I really think they're going to take this opportunity to surprise us and knock it out of the park with Starfield. Not only because I think they want to, but also because I think they kind of have to, because let's be honest, if Starfield is bad, it's very likely that Bethesda's not going to be doing too well after putting so much hype and so much effort and so much budget into making this game. They cannot have another Fallout 76 level flop on their hands. And I think they know that, and I think they are really going to put their best foot forward to try and make Starfield not a failure. Bottom line is, they know that they need to do good with this game, and I think they are going to do their best to try and make sure that they do. And in addition to the help from Microsoft that they're going to be getting, hopefully, they also are going to get a lot of help from the fact that hardware has significantly advanced in the years since Fallout 4. On PC now, we have DLSS and FSR, which really should help making the game more playable overall. And while DLSS and FSR are not like be-all end-all solutions to just give game devs an excuse to not optimize their games, which a lot of game devs are using it for, it is a really good technology to make games that are a little harder to run easier to run. Because if you're unaware, basically the way DLSS and FSR work are they take a lower resolution version of the game and render that on your GPU instead, and then upscale it using AI to match your monitor's resolution at very minimal quality loss and very minimal amounts of artifacting. And basically what that does is it lets your graphics card work significantly less hard on rendering the game, and it makes it so it has more power to use to render the game faster. And then that lower quality image is upscaled to one that's almost indistinguishable in most cases, in my opinion, especially if you don't know what to look out for in terms of artifacting on the screen and that kind of thing. But it's a really, really great technology, and while I hope they don't rely on it to make the game work on PC, it is something that if they implement could help significantly with the whole Bethesda games launching in a borderline unoptimized, unplayable state thing that has kind of plagued them forever. And although the Xbox versions of the game are going to be running at 30 FPS instead of 60 FPS, hopefully they can work with AMD to implement FSR on the console, and eventually, hopefully, they can patch the game to make it 60 FPS. Because while I think that most console players don't care as much about 60 FPS as a minimum bar threshold for performance like PC players, I know a lot of them who would definitely prefer 60 FPS over 30. So hopefully they can work with AMD and utilize FSR to make the game work a little bit better on consoles, whether from launch to hit that 30 FPS more consistently, or in future patches, to help the game reach 60 FPS someday on console, because it really should, IMO. But anyway, moving on from the more technical aspects, let's talk about some things that have me excited for Starfield. Specifically, Bethesda finally made the decision to drop the voice actor for the main character in the game, which is something they did in Fallout 4 that I was not a huge fan of, because it made it a lot harder to self-insert and roleplay as the character you created in the game. It was a whole thing where there was really only two voices, the male voice and the female voice, and every single character I made sounded the same, which made it really hard to sort of suspend disbelief and kind of consider my two different characters on my two different playthroughs as different people, since they had the same intro, same starting story, same sort of voice acting. They felt more like the same character versus distinct characters that I could kind of create backstories for and roleplay as myself. And the whole dialogue options thing is a whole nother can of worms, and we're going to open that in the section where I kind of talk shit about the game for a while. But Fallout 4 had really, really terrible dialogue options, to the point where it was such a summary of what your character was actually going to say that sometimes it was kind of a roll of the dice if your character actually said something with the same intent that they thought you were going to want. Because, like, a dialogue option would say, respond negatively, and then the character would be like, fuck you, and you didn't know if respond negatively it just meant, like, no, or if it meant, like, fuck off, you know? It was, like, a whole thing where they were not clear on the dialogue options, and hopefully with Starfield they learned their lesson on that, and they just have what your character's actually going to say as the dialogue option, because that was something that was confusing, and it ties in very well to the fact that the main character had a voice actor, because you could not sort of decide yourself how your character would say those things, because you were hearing your character say those things in a very specific way that you might not have expected it to sound like based off of what the dialogue option said. And continuing on the discussion about gameplay, I want to talk about the outpost building and the ship building, which seems to be like a greatly enhanced and expanded version of what we got in Fallout 4's settlement building. It seems like they're really putting a lot of effort into making sure the ships feel like a player home on steroids, and you're able to modify them in any way you see fit. And it also seems like the whole system behind adding different things to your ship to change its stats is really, really, really cool and really, really fleshed out. And I've even heard that apparently your ship pseudo levels up as well, from combat and that kind of thing. And I'll be curious to see how leveling up your ship really works, but it does seem like a really, really interesting system. And it's clear they've put a lot of effort into making sure ships are not only great player homes, but also sort of their own characters in the game, which I really like. And that only continues on to outposts, which are way expanded versions of settlements from Fallout 4, because you can place them anywhere on any planet, I guess, obviously, except for like a city or something. And you can hire people to work in them, and it seems like you'll be able to do stuff like manufacturing things in them as well. They even went as far as to finally add like an isometric over-the-top view to the building in the game, so it's a lot less tedious, hopefully, than Fallout 4, where you're like trying to build buildings from a first-person character perspective, which was always kind of tedious. But I guess they did keep that first-person perspective in the game too, so you'll be able to build in both ways, which is always good. But also, companions seem to be a lot more useful and a lot more fleshed out. They added this whole thing, I guess, where your companions can, like, do specific roles both on your ship and in your outposts, which will kind of be affected by their stats, and they'll either be better at a certain job or worse at a certain job depending on that, which is really, really interesting. So hopefully there's kind of a game in itself of finding the right companions to do certain jobs around your outposts and in your ship. That sounds really, really great. And another big thing about Bethesda games are the sort of shooting / weapon systems, and everybody kind of complained that while Fallout 4 went in the right direction to making gunplay feel better in the Fallout series, it didn't quite get there all the way, and they've really been trying to emphasize to us that they've enhanced the gunplay in Starfield. I know the first gameplay reveal they did, a lot of people said the gunplay still looked really like stiff and not very fun, but I think that the direct a couple months back people kind of saw it a little more favorably, and it seems like they have a lot of different guns and all these different mods and stuff you can apply to them, and it seems like it's a really fleshed out version of what we got in Fallout 4. So I'm hopeful for the weapons system to be a lot better and a lot more usable, though I've never really had any problem personally with the weapons in Fallout 4. I've always found them to be quite usable and in many cases quite fun, although a little bit stiff. But I really, really, really just want them to make the shotguns more punchy. I'm saying a lot of really, really, really's today. I don't know what's wrong with me, but you get the idea. I am hopeful that they will make the weapon systems more interesting and more unique. And there's also the whole thing with the spaceship combat. It seems like it's sort of taking inspiration from the classic indie game FTL, where you'll kind of have to do certain power distribution to certain systems to give your ship an advantage in combat. And I know in a recent interview, they talked about how there's a whole thing where you have to target certain systems on the enemy ships in order to sort of take them out and to get an advantage in combat, and that sounds really interesting and fun as well. Space combat is definitely an area where I'm marginally concerned, because it seems like it's going to be a really hard thing for them to do, but I'm hopeful they've put a lot of thought into it, and I guess we'll just have to see. So there's that. But that being said, I am very, very excited for the ability to basically dock and board enemy ships and then just kind of clear everybody out too. I'm hopeful that I can kind of do that rather than fighting in the ships, because I think I'd much rather like commandeer ships than destroy them, but I know both are options. So it'll be neat to dock an enemy ship though and just kind of go in and clear it out, I think. So yeah, there's some of the things that I think could really contribute to the game being good. I think there is a lot of potential here, and I think Bethesda just kind of has to deliver on promises, which admittedly they're not the best about doing all the time, but they definitely know how to hype people up, and they definitely know how to get people excited either way. And I think if they deliver on half their promises that they've said in their direct and their other videos about Starfield, it's going to be a really interesting game, and it'll probably be a really good game. The technical aspects at the end of the day are going to kind of be a big contributor as well. So here in the next section, we're going to talk about reasons Starfield could end up being a bad game. So I'm done meat riding Bethesda now. I'm done being positive. Let's get negative. Let's get sour. And oh, how sour we can get, because I have a lot of shit to talk about Bethesda. Starting off with the fact that Starfield is inevitably going to be very glitchy and very buggy at launch, and will probably continue to be very glitchy and buggy well into the future. I think it goes without saying, but every Bethesda game ever has featured quite a bit of jank and glitches, and the fact is it's 2023 and we are in an era where games are becoming more glitchy, becoming less polished, becoming more expensive, and Bethesda was kind of the only person that did it back in the day, but now everybody's doing it. And honestly, that would almost be to their benefit, because people would be less critical of them. But honestly, I think it's to their detriment, because people are going to be judging them a lot more harshly now than when, say, Skyrim came out back in 2011, for example. I think people are a lot more acutely aware of what a bad game is, and bad game bandwagons can kind of ruin a whole game. Like, take Cyberpunk 2077, my golden boy, for example. That game had so much hype, and when it launched, it was the buggiest, glitchiest piece of shit I've ever played. And I managed to make it through 80 hours of that game, And I actually enjoyed my time with it despite the glitches. But the glitches essentially killed that game. Nobody gives a shit about Cyberpunk 2077 anymore. And I feel like if Starfield launches in too glitchy of a state, it could fall for the same fate. Rhyme intended. And that being said, Bethesda does have a track record for making things marginally better. I guess Fallout 76 is apparently actually playable now, but I, for one, do not want to start off Starfield with a glitchy, buggy mess that is unplayable. I want to be able to play this game day one on my PC without having to worry about my PC exploding or downloading new graphics drivers or anything like that. I just want to boot up the game and play the game. And it seems like Bethesda is going to follow in the footsteps of games like Baldur's Gate, where the game's size is going to be insanely huge. We're talking 140 gigabytes on PC and 130 gigabytes on console, which is absolutely insane. It kind of just illustrates this continuing ongoing problem where game developers do not want to spend the time to compress their game's assets because the cost is making the game have harder performance because the game has to on the fly uncompress and load the textures versus just loading them. And that's why we're getting all of these titles that have insane install sizes. It's really insane. Take the PC version of Modern Warfare 2, for example. It's almost 200 gigabytes. And it's honestly crazy because most people I know have like a terabyte of storage. And so if games keep releasing in this huge state, eventually, you're only going to be able to have like four games installed on your PC or your console before it's just basically filled up. I know my PlayStation is 1 terabyte, but only 800 gigabytes of it is actually usable. So, thank God I can't play it on my PlayStation in the first place because God knows my PlayStation would not be up to the task of holding that game. And I tell you what, it took me so long to get storage space figured out for Baldur's Gate 3 too, and it took like 4 hours to install the game too, which is crazy because I have a really, really good internet plan. I feel so horrible for anybody who doesn't because it really takes a long time. It's clear from the 30 FPS console thing and the install size alone that there's probably already going to be some serious optimization issues with this game. And I'm not ready for it. I know I kind of just have to take it for what it is and kind of expect the game to be glitchy and unoptimized on launch, but wouldn't it be crazy if it wasn't? That's all I'm trying to say here. Like, Bethesda is owned by Microsoft now, a billion-dollar company. We should be able to have smaller install sizes and actually playable games, especially on console. You guys deserve better than 30 FPS. I know you don't care about it as much as I do. You guys deserve 30 FPS to not be the minimum. You guys deserve 60 FPS on consoles. That's what I'm trying to say here. And the whole install size thing is so much more of a problem on PC, but my case only has so much room for hard drives, Bethesda, please. And I know at least part of the optimization issues are going to come from the fact that Microsoft is probably forcing them. Well, I don't think probably. I know for a fact that they're forcing them to make an Xbox Series S version. And while I would never judge anybody for getting a Series S because it is such a great deal and it is the cheapest and most affordable way to get into current gen gaming, it is definitely holding this generation back because so many game developers have to target it rather than our much more powerful Series X, PS5s, and current gen PCs. Baldur's Gate is a perfect example of that because the developers have not been able to release the game very closely to the PC version on the Xbox because they have to take the time to optimize it significantly more for the Series S, which you know, it's going to benefit us in the long run because it's going to make the game perform better overall. But at the same time, it's going to make that version take a lot longer. And I feel like Starfield's going to suffer a similar thing because, let's be honest, the graphics are not that huge of an upgrade over Fallout 4, over Fallout 76. I mean, they have a new lighting system, they confirmed that, but just looking at the character models, it's very clear that they're similar to the ones we saw in Fallout 4 and in Fallout 76. Graphics are not a huge upgrade here, and a lot of that ties into the fact that Bethesda refuses to get rid of the Creation Engine, which is the game engine they've been using since Morrowind, and just upgrading it and modifying it and kind of slapping together new mechanics for it in order to make it able to create modern games. They really need to ditch the Creation Engine, for the love of God. A prime example of how this is a problem is shown in the fact that the rumored leaked Oblivion remake that's being worked on right now by the same team that's working on Metal Gear Solid Tri is apparently an Unreal Engine. They're not even using the Bethesda Creation Engine to remake Oblivion or to remaster Oblivion. They're going to be using Unreal Engine instead because Unreal is just so much more performant and so much better looking than the Creation Engine that for a third-party studio to learn the Creation Engine just doesn't make any sense when Unreal Engine is a lot more easy to learn and it's a lot better in pretty much every way. The same thing is true for CD Projekt Red because after they released Cyberpunk 2077 on their in-house Red engine and it flopped as bad as it did because of all the glitches and bugs and everything, they announced that all their future games are also going to be on Unreal Engine. So it kind of shows that we're moving towards an era of games using commercial engines a lot more rather than creating their own engine, because it's just going to be better overall for everyone if they do. And hopefully it'll help make the games in the future more optimized and a little bit more consistent across the board in terms of quality. And I know that a lot of the reasons why they still use the Creation Engine for their games is because the Creation Engine is a part of what makes Bethesda games feel like Bethesda games. But the more and more they keep adding these new features, the more and more we're going to see the engine become more buggy and less performant than it needs to be. And speaking of new features, Bethesda is, for all of the planets in the game, using some sort of procedural generation. And I gotta tell you, from experience in playing other games that have procedural generation on this scale, it's really hard to get right. No Man's Sky is a perfect example, and I have not brought this game up yet in this episode, but it's probably the closest comparison we're going to get to Starfield, because all of the planets in the game are procedurally generated and unique for every single player, just like they're going to be in Starfield, and it's really hard to get right. Procedural generation not only introduces more opportunities for there to be lots of glitches and bugs and crashes, it also introduces a lot more difficulty in terms of making the world feel unique. And one of my main concerns about Starfield is that you're going to go to a planet and find a mining outpost. You're going to go to another planet and find another mining outpost. You're going to go to another planet and find another mining outpost. Basically, the whole point behind that analogy is, rather than having uniquely handcrafted locations, we're going to have procedurally generated ones. And there's going to be certain types that you're going to see a lot of. And no matter how many times they shuffle the layout, I'm worried a lot of those places are going to feel too similar between different planets. And I'm worried I'm going to see the same mining outpost with a slightly different layout hundreds of times, and I'm going to get bored. And that's not even to mention the fact that What's to stop this procedural generation from glitching out and putting a mining outpost either like 3 feet off the ground and it's floating instead of being sunk into the ground correctly, or other anomalies happening? Just think about Minecraft. How often do you see NPC villages in Minecraft over a ravine and villagers open their door and walk out their front door and fall into a pit and die? It happens a lot, and it's really rare for there to be an NPC village that's perfectly placed and looks supernatural. And I feel like Starfield is going to have a similar problem. At least my gut is telling me that it will. And I'd love to be surprised. I'd love to be wrong. But I know from playing so many procedurally generated games that procedural generation, especially on this scale, is incredibly hard to do. Now let's move on and talk about some gameplay mechanics stuff for a moment. Specifically the RPG elements. More and more in Bethesda games, as they've been releasing recently, they've been moving away from the RPG genre and moving more into the action genre. And what I mean by that is, you look at games like Fallout 4, and it's a lot more of a first-person shooter than an RPG. And I have my doubts about how Bethesda will be able to pull off the RPG elements in Starfield. Part of me just kind of hopes and wishes that they would dump the RPG side of things and just go into an action game with some RPG elements. But it seems like they're really trying to phone home the fact that RPG elements are in full view in Starfield. And what I mean by that is they claim to have backgrounds and different skills, and they have a revamped skill tree system. And I'm just hesitant to believe that it's going to be anything that substantial or that interesting. I have been blessed by playing Baldur's Gate 3 this last month, and I'm going to get nowhere near close to finishing it by the time Starfield drops. But one thing Baldur's Gate has done for me is shown me what a real RPG is like. So much of that game is down in the details of your stats, your skills, and your abilities. And I love how every conversation I have, I feel like I'm having some sort of impact based off the fact that I'm a bard, or I can kind of turn the tides by using charisma or intimidation, that kind of thing. And it's something that I loved about past Bethesda RPGs, but Fallout 4 has some prime examples of these moments where persuasion just kind of turns into getting the NPC to do whatever you want. And what I mean by that is, rather than convincing them to go your way, they just kind of do whatever you want them to. And I'd have moments where in Fallout 4, I would use like my charisma on people, and basically they would go from 100% hostile to just giving me everything in their inventory and letting me through their camp as like not even an enemy. They just wouldn't even attack me. They would give me all their stuff, and I don't want that, you know? I want to be able to convince people to listen to me, but I don't want to convince people to do everything that I want them to do, you know? There's got to be a balance between realism and video gameism. And what I mean by that is, I do not want these RPG elements to basically be cheat the game buttons. I don't want to be able to just like delete every encounter by being really charismatic, because Baldur's Gate, since it's based on the D&D systems, even if you're the best charismatic person in the world, you're still going to fail occasionally because of the roll of the dice. And in Bethesda games, when you're really charismatic, you always win. And that doesn't just apply to charisma. That applies to a lot of different stats. Strength, you know, stealth. Like, especially in Skyrim, stealth was so OP. You could sneak right, like, 2 feet away from people and they would not even notice you there. And in Baldur's Gate, stealth is a lot more nuanced, and I really hope they kind of focus a little bit more on not making it all or nothing and making it a little bit more realistic instead, and a little bit more prone for role playing instead of prone for do what I want you to do game. And along with that, I really don't want them to like go away from the whole loot gathering thing, because gathering loot is such a huge part of RPGs, and Fallout 4 was very much the kind of game where you would find a lot of junk. And junk became useful eventually with DLCs and stuff, but I want everything to feel like it has a purpose. And in most Bethesda RPGs, it feels like there's a lot of stuff that's not even worth picking up, in all honesty. And I know that the whole like outpost system and researching and manufacturing and all that would really kind of make that worth your time to collect, but I don't know. We'll have to see if they actually go through with it. Other RPGs do a lot better job of making loot actually meaningful, and Bethesda could learn a lot from them. And the last thing I want to bring up while I'm shit-talking Bethesda is Todd Howard. Todd Howard is a very controversial gaming figure because he likes to stretch the truth and use marketing speak on us a lot. There's a classic video from 4 years ago by Crope Cat called Todd and the Sweet Little Lies, and it's so funny, and I highly recommend you check it out. It's basically a supercut of a bunch of times where he lied about things, and there is not a single doubt in my mind that he is not lying about anything in Starfield. He's got to be stretching the truth and using some marketing speak to get us hyped for this game in certain ways. Like, for example, I know that at one point he said that Starfield has working ladders, and it's the first Bethesda game to have working ladders that you can actually climb up. And I believe they've walked back on that and now said that there's actually not working ladders in the game, which is so funny because it's such a stupid thing to lie about, but he did. And I just know there's going to be a lot more things that he ended up lying about Starfield, and I hope that it's not so much that the game is bad because of it and it doesn't meet our expectations, because he's known to do that. He's known to overhype things. At the end of the day, though, at least we know that Starfield will at least just work. It's gotta just work. It just has to work. It just works.
All of this just works.
Next, what I want to talk about is some things that I really want to see in Starfield. Starting things off, I'm going to talk about the fact that I want to see lots and lots of pop culture and Bethesda game references. I want to see so many references to things like Star Wars and Star Trek, but I also really want to see references to other Bethesda games. Specifically, I was thinking about how it'd be really cool to see a planet that was named Nern after the planet from the Elder Scrolls series. And also it'd be really cool to see like Vault-Tec have some sort of a presence in the game. I know they're kind of teasing the idea that Starfield includes our galaxy in some way, so maybe we'll see our character go to a destroyed version of Earth and we can find a Vault-Tec vault or something like that. I think that would be really cool. And I just kind of think seeing Earth in general would be really neat, and there'd be lots of opportunities for interesting references there. Like, think about how in Fallout 3 you could find the Bethesda offices. That was a really cool Easter egg. I want more stuff like that. Yeah, I think that would be really, really interesting. Something else I would really like to see in regards to outposts are similar processing slash factory mechanics to that one Fallout 4 DLC. I really loved making factory lines in the game because unlike games like Factorio, where you're just kind of making production lines to make them to an extent. In the Fallout 4 DLC, you could make like ammo for your weapons, you could make food for your settlers. It was kind of a little more useful to the game itself. It was an add-on system at the end of the day, but it was a nice little extra thing to do, which I really liked. And likewise, I would love to see the option to run your own shop. In every Bethesda game I've ever played, I have desperately wanted to play as a pack rat, traveling merchant type character. And one of my favorite Skyrim mods of all time let you basically set down a rug with a chair and you could drop items on it, and NPCs would walk by and buy the items. Yeah, I actually even went and looked it up here. The mod was called Your Market Stall by W.G. Stein. And at the time that I was playing Skyrim Special Edition a lot, there wasn't a port of the mod, but now I guess there is. And basically, it just lets you put down a flea market stall anywhere you want, and you fill up a chest with items, and then a couple items drop on the ground in front of you, and NPCs will walk by and offer you to buy your items, and you can even barter with them. It's really cool. And I guess there's a lot of other mods that kind of are a little more fleshed out than that now. Like there's a mod called Adura's Merchant mod for Skyrim Special Edition that lets you purchase merchant stands in the major cities. And it's kind of the same thing, just a little bit more fleshed out, which is really, really cool. And I would love to see the ability to run your own shop, whether it's like on a space station or on one of your outposts, or maybe even just like in cities. It would be really, really sweet. I've wanted it for so long, and it ties in really well to the whole wanting more role play mechanics. Bethesda games have always allowed you to become any character that you want to be. And the only thing that's really holding those games back from selling that vision to me is the fact that there's not a lot of role-playing mechanics. Obviously, you can sit in chairs, you can eat at bars, that kind of thing. I really just want to be able to, like, purchase property and, perform as a bard in the example of like a fantasy setting, but stuff like that. A little more like role playing stuff. And I guess that ties in really well to the shop thing as well. I just want to be able to play a role in this role playing game a little bit better and a little bit more immersively. And obviously, mods can always get us there too. But I think it'd be nice to see Bethesda integrate a little bit more into the game itself. To kind of give us a little bit more to work off of, a little bit more of a base. And likewise, when it comes to the dialogue options, I really want to emphasize Fallout 4 fumbled the bag hard, and it was never obvious what your character was going to say and how they were going to say it based off the dialogue options. I want them to bring back the full dialogue that your character is going to say as the dialogue options. And it kind of looks like that might end up being the case. I know also the background system that they introduced is very reminiscent of other RPGs, and it seems to add quite a bit for the role-playing aspect as well. So it looks like they're making some strides there. I just want to see them make the dialogue a little more fleshed out and a little more specific so I don't end up saying things as my character that I don't want to say, like I did in Fallout 4 so often. And there were mods that fixed that, and there were mods that made the dialogue options like more clear. And they even like had little like in brackets intent emotional things. But Bethesda really should get with the system on that. Other things, there has really only been shown off space suits as like your armor and your cosmetics in the game, and I want to see some like less ugly space suits, if that makes sense. It's a personal preference thing. But pretty much every space suit I've seen so far has been kind of ugly. And some of the armor that you can just wear, like some of the outfits you can wear on planets with atmosphere, is cool, but I want to see more in terms of making your own unique spacesuit look, because some of the spacesuits don't really look that interesting to me personally. What else do I have here? I think this might have already been confirmed, but I really hope that they're going to bring over the Fallout 4, Fallout 76 quick loot system where you hover over a container and the gameplay doesn't pause or anything. You just, like, loot the stuff in the world. I hope they bring that back, because that was a no-brainer for Fallout 4. In every Bethesda game I've played since, even past ones, I've went out of my way to look for a mod that adds that because it's so nice. And there's one for Skyrim, and there's one for the old Fallout games, and it's just a really, really nice feature, and I hope they continue using it in Starfield. And I've already seen that they have resource collection automation in the form of, like, mining drills and stuff like that, but I hope they let your companions be assigned tasks to go collect resources while you're away, so you don't have to spend the whole time trying to hunt down specific resources for specific things. And the next two things, I actually rewatched the Starfield Direct, but they're already in the game. I am really excited about docking and stealing enemy ships and having a hangar to kind of see all my ships. It looks like the ship system is way more fleshed out than I ever could have wanted based off the videos they've released, so that's all really good. And I put that I wanted regular player housing outside of outposts, but honestly, it kind of seems like the ship is your real, like, player house, and you kind of just take it with you. So if they don't have, like, regular player housing, like apartments in cities and stuff like that, I'd kind of get it. I know that'll be a mod, though, at some point, because that just kind of makes sense. But I guess between outposts and ships, they probably have the whole player housing situation pretty wrapped up. And the last thing I want to talk about is the fact that I want to see lots and lots and lots of unique locations in the game. I want to see more than just procedural generation. I want to have, like, at least one unique location per planet. I know it's not going to be like that, but I want every planet to have at least something unique about it. Even if, like, it's just one little town per planet that's, like, kind of built up and kind of fleshed out, that would be perfect. And I don't want to just go, like, No Man's Sky style to a bunch and bunch and bunch of empty planets. I know there probably is going to be empty planets, and I should probably accept that, but I would love to see them try and do some stuff with making points of interest a little more interesting and not just go completely random and completely procedurally generated for every single point of interest. So hopefully they have a decent amount of uniquely created, handcrafted locations as well to kind of spice things up a little bit, because outside of that, if they don't do a ton, and I mean a ton, of different types of possible randomly generated landmarks, I fear that the game could get stale very quickly based off the fact that it's not going to have that replay value, and you're not going to want to keep playing if you go from one planet to another and you find a similar looking mining outpost, like I said before, just with a different layout. So I really hope they include lots of different points of interest. And likewise, I hope they include lots of voice actors in this game. One of the biggest problems for me, having put about 100 so hours into Skyrim Special Edition alone, is realizing that Skyrim has like 4 voice actors, and it gets really repetitive hearing the same 4 voices over and over and over again for a bunch of different characters. And I have to really suspend disbelief, because in my head I have an ongoing, like, joke that they're all like brothers and sisters and stuff like that. I just hope they bring in some voice actors, or maybe use some clever, like, software trickery to make the voice actors they do have and reuse have slightly different voices and stuff like that. Like, maybe they can do some pitch correcting and some slight tuning and that kind of thing to make the voices a little bit more unique if they don't have enough voice actors. But they would do smart to just make a budget and pay a bunch of like pseudo professional, not even like top of the line, but like just like pseudo professional voice actors, and get a ton of general voices for the game, because that's something that playing Skyrim for such a long time has kind of started to really grind my gears. I'm tired of hearing the same voices over and over and over again. And even Fallout 4 is still pretty bad about it. I just think I have less time in the game to get annoyed by the same voices, but either way. And I guess that ties in well to another thing, which is the radios from Fallout. I hope they have like an intergalactic radio with some cool music playing or something, because I mean, I guess I can just open Spotify in another tab and play some music, but I'd much rather have a cool radio system like Fallout. But I know they probably wouldn't do real music like they do in Fallout, because it wouldn't really make sense lore-wise, but maybe they can work something out and make it kind of cool. And the last thing I want to bring up is the game should definitely allow you to have sex with the robots. Oh shit, we have a phone call coming in. All right, lucky caller number 4, you are live on the Switched podcast. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi, my name's Ethan. Oh no, this isn't my dating profile. Never mind. Sorry. Oh shit.
Please proceed to dox yourself. I want to know all your personal information.
Oh, my social security number is 4.
Yeah. We'll censor that. Anyway, welcome to the show. Just really quick, I wanted to ask, what is your background with games by Bethesda?
Well, I started with Oblivion at a very young age. I'd say it was 8 or 9 when I first played it. Played that. Vividly remember playing Fallout 3 at my dad's. Played Skyrim like the day it came out, because it coincided with my birthday.
I was 11 years old when Skyrim came out. How old were you playing Skyrim?
Well, if you... Really? I guess I must have been like, what, 9 then? If you're only a couple... years older than me. Yeah,
that's crazy. 9-year-old, yeah, playing Skyrim.
I know. I think I had a Skyrim themed birthday party too, because nice. I was so hyped.
What would you say is your favorite Bethesda game then?
Oh, let's see, I could pick the safe answer and say Morrowind, because that's the community's favorite.
That's the one that doesn't get you canceled on Twitter, or sorry, on X.
Yeah, exactly. Please don't dead name the Twitter, please.
Sorry.
Dead name the X. Oh my god, I just did.
Oh my god.
Oh, I had one job.
So what's your real answer though? You can be honest here. This is an honest and safe platform for all.
It would probably be Oblivion.
Oblivion.
Oblivion's
have you heard about have you heard about the Oblivion remake or remaster in the works?
See, I've heard about that. I don't think it's real. The only Oblivion remaster I've heard of is Skyblivion, unless that's the one you're referring to.
No, I was referring to the leaked Unreal Engine remaster being done by a third-party studio.
See, that sounds too good to be true, because I've even heard I've heard somewhere that Todd Howard himself has said that, oh, he doesn't want those games to be remastered, because he wants people to play them as they are.
Fair enough. Anyway, enough about you know, Bethesda in general. The topic of tonight, the reason you called in today, is because you want to talk about Starfield. And I've prepared a few questions for you here. Starting out with, what are you most excited for in Starfield?
See, I think it's probably going to be the exploration, because it's either going to be good or it's going to be really bad. And, you know, Bethesda has this thing where they Bethesda's whole thing, more or less, really seems to be, you know, as wide as an ocean, as deep as a puddle. So
I love the analogy. Nice analogy.
I can't wait to see if it's going to be, you know, it's probably going to be, you know, however many planets they said there were going to be, you know, the hundreds or the thousands.
Thousands of planets, and you can go to them, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I guarantee you it's going to be like maybe 20 max actually have shit to do.
See that
And
moon over there? You can go to it.
yeah, but is there anything there? No, not really. There's
Yeah,
like a
I was actually talking about that in a previous segment because there's like the whole procedural generation thing. It means that every player theoretically is going to have different layout for each planet, and like different stuff is going to be on different planets for different players. And I was talking about how like you're only going to be able to see the same mining post that looks identical to every other mining outpost, but slightly different layout so many times before you're like, all right, fuck this game.
Or it's going to be the exact same fuck. It's going to be the exact same layout. Just oh, this one's a desert instead of the fucking frozen
Yeah.
tundra.
I'm
Oh,
hopeful they at
this one's
least
blue
do
sky.
dungeon layouts too, like random dungeon layouts too.
Yeah,
'Cause,
I don't know. See, the whole thing it has, obviously its probably biggest competitor in this whole idea is obviously No Man's Sky, and No Man's Sky, I'd say the planets suffer the exact same problem. They've tried expanding on it, like they did like a whole like update where you can do underwater base building too. But it's the same. Like the big problem with these kinds of games, which I know I say these kinds of games, and there's literally one now going to be two of them, is that they make it to where the one planet is one biome. Like the entire planet is nothing but desert. The entire planet's nothing but a forest.
Yeah,
It's
that's not
just,
realistic at all.
I mean, I'm sure there's a couple planets that are like that, but like, it's nice to have some variety on one planet. I don't want to wake up, I want to wake up in my virtual bed in my like little base cube. I don't know. I'm really shit at making those bases in like Fallout 4, and I'm assuming, because it's Bethesda, they're just going to reuse the Fallout 4 system
So
to.
actually, I was talking about that too. So the base system is reused, but the thing about it that makes it a little bit more nicer, I guess, is not only do you have like on foot building, you also finally have like a over the top view where you can place more like bigger parts of the structures out and about. That's a whole thing.
Yeah, I guess that is, but that's also going to be another thing is like, why would you need to build bases? Because like in Fallout 4, I think I did my first playthrough in like Sanctuary, and then I never used it again. The only
Yeah.
time I ever see it used for a lot of people is like to cheese experience or for like those special vendors that sell certain shit. Like when when like the moon is like a waning crescent, and then other things and.
Yeah, personally, I kind of had the opposite experience of you. I spent most of my time with the base building, and then I kind of treated the rest of the game as like extra. Like, I basically spent my entire time with the game building factories to make like ammunition for my guy and then never actually using it. Just like spent all the time, in the base building making places. Like, I did the fort one or whatever. I rebuilt the fort to make it look like an actual fort again. And I like fortified the, I fortified the gas station by like building walls all around it and a bunch of defenses and stuff like that.
Yeah, you see, I would do that too, but then like I know it's a mechanic, but I would never have my settlements get attacked. So it's like, why am I wasting all of these resources on a base that never like is never needed? Like it sure it looks cool. But like, especially if it's not Sanctuary, I'm never going to go there again.
Fair enough. I mean,
Like I did the quest for like what?
I took it like wherever was my most interesting base at the time was where I would go, and then I had like one place where I would send all my like shitty companions that I didn't like and make them do
Oh,
like a
of
bunch
course.
of manual
Everyone
labor.
did that.
But
Everyone
like
made strong work in the fields or something.
I know, I presume you played Fallout 4 exclusively on Xbox, right?
Yes.
There was a lot of incredible settlement mods for PC as well that I had. Like, there was one
Course,
that I think was
you can't
called.
forget like all the settlement DLCs. Can't forget about
Oh,
those.
true. Yeah, and the settlement DLCs are actually really fun. But there was a bunch of mods that were good. Like, there was one called Scrap Everything that would let you basically flatten the land and just start from scratch. That was really cool. I think I did that to Sanctuary, actually. I just, like, deleted all of the buildings and made my
Yeah.
own town, more or less.
I think I've heard of that one, yeah.
And then there's this mod that's, like, huge. It's, like, a DLC-sized mod for the settlement building called, Sim Settlements, I believe. And that makes it so, like, your settlers can have, like, more jobs, and there's more interconnectivity between your settlements, and there's like more manufacturing stuff and that kind of thing. That was really, really cool. But hopefully they flesh out the settlements slash outposts in Starfield to make them closer to my modded Fallout 4 in the base game, so people who only play on Xbox can also experience that. Because I know there's mods for Fallout 4 on Xbox, but nothing quite like Sim Settlements, because that was a huge, like, code mod, and I don't think the Xbox can get code mods.
I actually don't know because I think they can. Because it used to be that they couldn't, and the mod selection on Xbox used to be really limited. And I think they opened it up, and because there's a lot more custom like animations and all this and that. So they might, or it might just like, be too big for Xbox.
Yeah, because I
You're
know.
only given like a couple gigabytes of like mod
Oh,
storage
is that how
on
that
Xbox.
works too?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know on PC we also have SKSE, which, well, that's for Skyrim, is the Skyrim script extender. And that is basically a mod that hacks the game's engine to allow more things to be done with the engine itself. And I know that's something they definitely don't support on Xbox, so I'm pretty sure only like vanilla mods, as we call them on PC, really work on Xbox, which is interesting. But anyway, moving on here with the questions about Starfield. What are you least excited for Starfield? I guess we kind of touched on how that your most excited thing could be positive or negative, but is there anything that you've heard about the game that you're like, ugh, I don't like that?
I see, I really feel like the combat's probably going to be pretty lackluster.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure you've seen like what was it, the reveal trailer where really good start where the main character's reloading a laser gun or whatever, and it's literally just an exact carbon. It's literally just the reload animation for like the laser rifle in Fallout 4. I'm sure it's just going to be Fallout 4 gunplay, which wasn't
It
bad,
was
but
better
it
than
could.
3 in New Vegas, at least.
Yeah, but that's also like kind of like not hard to do.
Yeah.
But it's just like Bethesda doesn't have like they've never made other than like Morrowind. Sorry, I guess I have to meet ride Morrowind now. They never really had like a deep combat system for any of their games. It's more or less, hold down trigger, press mouse click button,
Yeah.
and either you fall over or the enemy falls over. There's nothing crazy you get to do.
Yeah, for sure. Like, a lot of other RPGs have more involved systems, like I know your favorite game of all time, Dragon's Dogma: Dark Arisen,
Oh, of
has
course.
like the whole like thing where you can do like combat abilities and stuff like that.
Yes,
And
yeah.
Skyrim has nothing like that. And even
No.
they even I would argue simplified the combat in the later Elder Scrolls games, because they made it a lot less about being actually proficient with the weapon and a lot more about, can you hold a weapon? You can use the weapon.
Exactly, because it was that goddamn fucking dagger and the census office and Morrowind that every player picked up, walked 20 feet to go fight a mud crab, died, and they're like, oh, why can't my mage hold a da why doesn't my mage know how to use a dagger? Probably
Yeah.
because your class doesn't know how to use that weapon.
Yeah, it was definitely a simplicity thing. And I think they kind of went into the route of oversimplifying, and then they got the rights to the Fallout series, and they're like, well, we gotta adapt this engine to a game with guns. Let's make it the same thing. Because I don't know if you've ever played Fallout 1 or 2 at all.
No, but I've seen game. I've seen. I know how it works.
The combat is a lot more involved. And obviously, since it's a CRPG, that makes sense. But, a lot of that was lost in translation. And their solution was VATS. And VATS is good. But Starfield's not going to have VATs to rely on, which is kind of worrisome.
Exactly, because, a lot of people like the VAT, like the VATs kills and whatever. So, yeah, you have gunplay that's just going to be Fallout 4's gunplay. I'm assuming they might have, some dressing here and there. They might have a gimmick or two that you use once or twice and forget about.
I think there's smart weapons, too.
Oh, so there's comp being Cyberpunk now.
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, so you can have the gameplay for you. Awesome.
Yeah, but without VATS, it's just Fallout 4's gunplay, which I would say is serviceable.
Yeah, it's serviceable, but I don't think without VATS or any of that, I don't know if it really can stand on its own.
But full transparency, earlier in the podcast, I was talking about Fallout 4, and I did say that Fallout 4 was underrated, and I did say that I think that people think that the gunplay is worse than it actually is. I did find it to be acceptable. And I would even say, good, depending on the weapon. Like, certain weapons felt really good, and then others just felt like you were throwing pieces of paper at the enemies, and they were just falling
over. Yeah, I'd agree. There are some weapons that just kind of, oh, what was it? That, the one in Far Harbor where you're just shooting fucking bowling balls at people, and it makes, a strike sound effect every time you hit. That thing was pretty cool.
Yeah, and, the freaking, is it the fat boy in the Fallout games too, where you just get to shoot
the
nukes.
New launcher?
Yeah,
the fat man.
Fat man. Yeah, those are fucking fun. At least
that's awesome. Or there's the railway rifle where you can shoot people. If you shoot their limbs, it detaches their limbs and pins them to walls.
Yeah, and I guess there's been iconic weapons in the series, but weirdly enough, none that I think felt as amazing as weapons in other games. Like, I think about the shish kebab in Fallout 3. That was a really cool weapon. But I'm sure they'll have plenty of things like that. But likewise, I kind of hope they give us more melee stuff.
Yeah.
Because melee in general has been very lackluster in recent Bethesda games. And I kind of hope that they bring in more. And I know during the direct, they showed off somebody who did a pure melee build. In the skill tree for melee ends with you basically being able to crush people's skulls in with your fists, I guess, which is kind of cool. But yeah, combat's definitely something that's going to be really hit or miss. But the funny thing is, since it's Bethesda, it's not going to make or break the game. It's going to just kind of exist.
Yeah, because I think Bethesda knows for a fact that they're just totally leaning into if this sucks, our community will fix it. There's, the skills in Skyrim. You have Ordinator. Ordinator's, the biggest,
tool mod
in Skyrim. And that adds so many things that they don't. It adds, a whole, it doesn't add a new skill tree, but it adds, a whole, branch to light armor that gives you unarmed perks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much, there was a perk for Armorer, which, or smithing, I guess, is as it's called in Skyrim. But, smithing, all it is just, you can smith a new tier of armor. But then, Ordinator, has, you can build a fucking dwarven machine gun that you can place down. You can just play an artificer in Skyrim. You can, cut your hand open and bleed into a dragon, or, into a forge to make it, a dragon forge. And, all your stuff will be, two tiers higher. Stuff like that makes smithing, not boring.
Yeah, agreed. And I don't know if you've seen much with the skill trees, but it seems like they're doing some interesting stuff with the skill trees. It almost feels reminiscent of Cyberpunk, and I feel like there's definitely going to be some copying there naturally, because that was the most recent, sci-fi-ish, RPG release. But I've seen some really cool looking skills. There's a section on the Starfield Direct, because if I'm correct, you're kind of avoiding as much information about the game as you can, so you can go in mostly blind.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. I don't want I'm trying to keep my thoughts pure as possible until day of release.
Fair enough. I think honestly the funny thing about that is, though, I was kind of in the same boat, but I eventually just decided fuck it and watch the Starfield Direct. And it's only made me more excited for the game than I actually was. So, yeah, I don't know. But the skill tree stuff looks really interesting. And it looks like they're doing a lot with the RPG elements. Like bringing in a background system. bringing in a trait system, and they're expanding the skill trees into like a bunch of different skill trees for specific things. And I think there's a whole thing too. I might be slightly incorrect about this, but I'm pretty sure they have like a whole system where you can rank up by doing certain things. Like if you get a X amount of stealth kills, you get a certain trait for the skill tree or something like that.
Oh yeah, I think Fallout New Vegas had something like that. All I can really remember is I know there was like a perk you would get for like killing a bunch of enemies, and then you'd like just start doing 5% damage extra to everything because you just kill everything.
Yeah, that sounds very similar to what I've seen, I believe, but
It also kind of reminds me of a little bit of what's it called? Oh God. Outer Worlds, where you'd have like you'd be playing the game and depending on like what you were doing, kind of sort of it was more or less who like who you were attacking, who was attacking you, you'd get like a trait or a flaw, and you could take like a flaw and it would give you an extra like perk point to use in your build, but at the cost of, oh, you're afraid of robots, so you take plus 25 damage against all robots. It's like, it's kind of a neat system. It's like dynamic in a way.
That kind of stuff is always really cool in RPGs. And honestly, that was one of the things I put under my most wanted for the game was more RPG elements. So hopefully they go to that because I feel like recently Bethesda games, like specifically the Fallout games, have become more action first-person shootery games with subpar first-person shooting. And then there's like some RPG elements.
Yeah, that's exactly, it's really, honestly, it started mostly with Skyrim. They've just, it's been more of an action adventure game than an RPG. Like, there's no real, like, in Skyrim, there's no real role-playing potential. Like, I was watching a review, 12-hour review of Skyrim, and this guy was playing it, and he was doing the companions, and the companions, you have to become a werewolf to finish their quest line. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. Spoilers for a, what is
Oh
it
my
now?
God.
10 or 11 year old game. But he then just dropped the quest line because they were forcing a choice on him, forcing a choice one way, and
Yeah.
that's it. They're like, oh, you have to become a werewolf to finish the companions. That's it. That's all you can do. It's
Yeah.
either you finish or you walk out.
And that's the kind of thing where, like, you get so roped up in a game with such critical acclaim as Skyrim, you don't really analyze it critically like that. And there is a lot of stuff like that in the game that you kind of realize is a flaw. Like I talked about just a minute ago in the podcast, the fact that there's like four voice actors for the whole game.
Yeah, and I'd say like it's kind of almost part of the charm because like Oblivion had that because it was basically one guy would do all of the voice lines for two races. So and it was kind of funny, you'd go down the street, hear one dude's voice, oh, he's also the shopkeeper. I don't know, it's like but then again, I'm sure Bethesda had the money to at least get a voice actor, But then again, I think they upgraded in Skyrim to each race more or less has a voice actor. But then they like kind of interspersed. Like sometimes, oh, the dark elf voice actor will also voice a high elf or a wood elf. So there's some variety. But it's also still like the same 12 people that are voicing hundreds of NPCs. So you're like, oh, that's Wes Johnson. Oh, that's whatever her name is. Oh, yep. Yep, same person. Thank you. Thank you, Wes Johnson.
Yeah, and the last thing I want to add about like the whole RPG thing is a prime example is in Fallout 4 how with the charisma system, it's like
Oh,
all
yeah.
or nothing. I was just talking about this too, but like with the charisma system in Fallout 4, it's all or nothing. And you can have like somebody come up to you and try and rob you. And rather than you just kind of being able to talk them out of it, it's almost like you're like controlling them just with your charisma. Like it's they'll be like, "Give me all your caps." And then if you pass the charisma check, it's like, "Sorry to bother you, sir. I will not rob you."
Now, see, the thing with Fallout 4 is it's even worse because you know it's fully voice acted, so they
Uh-huh.
cannot do anything like any of the other games. And then one, the charisma system is, I swear to God, more or less, it's just pay me more money. That's
Exactly. There's a lot of that
90%.
too.
There's 90% of all skill checks is, oh, give me more money. I think the hardest skill check bypasses like three enemies. I know in Skyrim, if you have a speech level of like 90 to 100, the one singular, and I mean only, skill check in the game that is that high is the very beginning of the College of Winterhold, where you just the only thing it changes is that you do not have to take that opening test where the lady
Oh.
stops you on the bridge is like, oh, you have to cast this spell on this rune. You can just say, oh, I think I'll be fine. And she'll be like, oh, okay, yep, go on in. And that's it.
Yeah.
That is the only time that you ever like that's basically that game's version of Fallout 1 telling the master to, you know, kill himself because his plan's stupid.
Yeah.
Or Fallout New Vegas telling Lanius his plan is stupid and he's going to fail and that he should just probably leave. That's their big dialogue moment.
Yeah, a bridge, exactly. They've really
A
stripped out
bridge.
a lot of the sort of interesting things that can happen because of having a high charisma, or kind of a lot of different stats in general. I mean, the practical ones like lock picking and, you know, that kind of thing. Obviously, those are going to have a lot easier to create interesting situations. Like if you can do a master lock, you're gonna have some really cool loot behind it. But for a lot of the more like mundane and less flashy skill check things, they don't really have the RPG elements there to make it like interesting in any way. It's just kind of like, do you want to skip this dialogue? Do you want to skip this fight? That kind of
Yeah,
thing.
exactly.
And they
Exactly.
don't
It's
really
like,
give a lore reason. The character just kind of backs down. They're just like, okay, whatever.
yeah, that's like what most of their like ideas of skill checks are. It's like, oh, you don't have to play this tiny sliver of a game. You don't have to play this tiny section. See, in like Fallout New Vegas, like there's so many ch like I love like Good Springs because it just kind of opens up. Because, you know, there's like so many things that you can do. Like, if you have proficient skill, like you can prepare that machine gun that's sitting on the table. You can make a couple of like health packs if you have a high enough medicine. And then you go out into the world, and then there's a bunch more. Like, you know, there's the fixing up the mole rat in the little mining town that gets you. I can't remember what it gets you because I, honest to God, I don't go that way ever. No one ever does. But, you know, there's just so many, and there's another really good one. It's at the very beginning of, I believe, Honest Hearts. You can talk to this guy, and the amount of dialogue options you have with him, because he tells you, like, some BS story of how he ended up there. If you have, like, a huge gun skill, you're like, oh, whatever caliber pistol you said doesn't exist. If you have, like, a science that's high enough, you're like, oh, the Brotherhood of Steel has bulletproof eye lenses, so you couldn't have shot a Brotherhood Paladin through the eye.
Exactly. Yeah, there's like specific different types of skill checks that use the same stat rather than just like the same type just in different locations with slightly different backdrops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I hope they focus a lot more on bringing RPG elements back. It's
I
going to
do
be
too.
difficult because of the fact that the setting is a space opera rather than, you know, a fantasy setting or even a post-apocalyptic setting, which has been shown to work, but yeah, I think space opera is going to be a lot harder to add RPG elements to than fantasy and post-apocalyptic.
I think like also a big like you know it's something that like I'm hoping is working towards like it being a good game is the fact that this is like their first new IP. You know, they literally like signpost like, oh, this is our first new IP in 25 years.
Yeah.
So there's like that pressure of like, oh yeah, this kind of has to be good so we aren't just stuck with Fallout and Skyrim.
That's so funny that that was something you wanted to bring up, because that on my document where I have will Starfield be a good game? Reasons it could. My first thing is it's a brand new IP, less expectations and more freedom to try new things. But I guess more pressure as well to succeed is something I didn't really bring up.
Yeah, you're welcome. I guess I write your notes better for you than
So,
they and you.
That's definitely something. But I guess I don't know if there's really anything else to cover with that. I already know the answer to this, but are you buying day one, waiting, or playing on Game Pass?
I guess I have to flex my Game Pass Ultimate membership, but oh no, you tell me, what do you think I'm gonna be playing it on?
Probably Game Pass, but here's a sub question that I'll ask since I kind of already knew the answer to that question anyway. If the game is good enough, as in you
Will I
spend
buy it for
adequate
myself, I assume?
enough time in it to enjoy it, and you spend adequate enough time playing it that it's like a really good game that you like, will you rebuy it on PC to play with mods? Or do you think you'll be good with the vanilla game with whatever console mods come out?
I would probably say that if it that completely depends on how good it is. But if it is good enough, I would totally be willing to like buy it on PC because by God, do I want like a mod that changes my ship into the Millennium Falcon or something? That would
Well,
be
I bet you
so
they'll have a
cool.
way where you can kind of build it.
Oh yeah, because like there's ship building. I forgot that was like going to be a me big mechanic.
Oh, it's a huge mechanic. I won't spoil anything with it so far to you, but yeah, it's a whole thing. The shipbuilding seems really, really interesting and complex, so.
There's like ship combat too, right?
Yeah, and they do the whole FTL thing where you can target certain areas of the ships and you have to like redirect your power to different parts of your ship too. Which, I mean, obviously, the fact that they can barely pull off like gun combat makes me really concerned for ship
Yeah,
combat.
exactly.
But
Yeah,
they've
it's
got some
completely weird.
interesting stuff planned for it, and it seems like if it was any other company telling me this was how the combat was going to be, I'd be like, well, this is going to be incredible. But since it's Bethesda, I'm naturally really skeptical about it.
Like, I mean, to be fair, I mean, there was that whole trailer they did with Oblivion where it shows, the lady drinking, like, she's like, because it was showing, like, just what Radiant AI could do. And, she's, like, practicing archery. She takes a potion, gets better at, like, archery. Then it's like she does this whole thing where she practices magic. And, it's just showing, like, oh, every single NPC is capable of doing this.
I gotta show you something so fucking funny. Sorry, this is a tangent. But in the video, they show somebody who made a ship that they called a mech. They really hyped it up. They're like, and you haven't seen this because you haven't seen the direct. They were talking about all the different stuff that the developers had made their ships into, and like one lady's like, I made my ship look like a platypus. And this other lady is like, you can make your ship look like a mech. And then she fucking shows this. I'm sending it right now in the Discord. Does this work? Let me check the link. Yeah, there we go. She shows this.
That's funny.
Isn't that funny as fuck?
Oh, that is actually hilarious. Holy shit, thank you for giving me it. Oh my god, it looks like oh, I'm trying to think of what it's one of the Bionicles. I have to figure out what they're called. All your podcast Bionicle fans are probably like gonna be screaming. All two of them are gonna be
All two
screaming,
people that
"Oh, clearly it's
listen to the
Taraka or
podcast.
whatever."
Yeah. So that's one of the ships you can make in the game. They wanted to emphasize that you can make this, and then they proceeded to show fucking
Oh, a fucking like stubby little robot.
Mr. Mommy, I want Uppies, the robot.
It looks like, oh, that's exactly what it looks like. It looks like the Bionicle McDonald's toy.
Check this shit
Exactly.
out.
Exactly. That is exactly the one I was going for. It looks exactly like it.
Then it's the fucking. Then we gotta get the meme of Pam from The Office. Corporate needs you to find the difference between these two pictures, and then it's her off to the side or the same picture. Fucking hell. All right. Well, what else? Is there anything else you want to say about Starfield or anything like that?
Either it's going to be good or it's going to be bad. I'm going to enjoy it either way because either it's Bethesda taking another fat fucking L, or they actually like put their like last three brain cells together and actually make a good game.
All right. And is there anything you want to plug before we round it off here?
See,
Oh, what the hell? The call disconnected. That's awkward. Well, that's all right. Thanks for coming on the show, Ethan. Much appreciated. I'll see if I can get him back on the line later, folks. All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, that is our podcast on Starfield. I'm very excited to see how the game turns out. I hope it is great. There are a lot of reasons why it could be, and there's a lot of reasons why it could also not be. Shout out to Ethan for coming on and talking about Starfield with me too at the end there. That was a nice little change of pace for this episode. But yeah, I think that's about it. I hope you folks enjoyed this episode of the Switched Podcast. I can't guarantee anything, but there should be some more podcast episodes down the pipeline. I spent a little more time working on this one. I spent a little more effort on this one, and hopefully the wait was worth it. Either way, folks, have fun playing Starfield. I know you will be. Hopefully it's not garbage. I can't wait to see the reviews. It's either going to be like a 10 out of 10 or like a 4 out of 10. So, you know. But either way, have a good day, folks, and I'll see you all in the next podcast episode. Bye-bye.